Hello, everybody. Welcome in. Come on in. Another edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network. And as a matter of fact, this might be our 100th podcast. I'm not sure. It's either 99 or 100. I got to go look at the facts and the figures over on Podbean. Either way, whether it's edition 99 or edition 100, none of them are possible without you and you listening and downloading and supporting us, and we cannot thank you enough. Rob Witham along with you. Wow, what a crazy last week and a half it has been. Oh my, just countless hours of basketball. Our odyssey began a week ago last Wednesday afternoon at the Atlantic 10 Women's Basketball Championship at the Coliseum. That lasted until last Sunday. And then we went back down and got some rest and came up for air and back over to the Siegel Center, this time downtown, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then back again Saturday after a brief respite with our family for a day or so. My daughter was home for college for spring break at Longwood University for a week, and I'm like, yeah, I got to see my daughter a little because now she's gone for the seven-week stretch until semester ends early part of May. So it's the home stretch for those of you who are in college. Congratulations. Hang on, especially seniors, class of 2016. Can you believe it? It's almost graduation time. The parchment is within sight. So good luck to you on that. High school level, man, hard to believe. Spring sports season is here, begins Monday. Of course, the weather may wreak havoc on it already, and we'll be on top of that for you. And I was sitting at the Siegel Center Saturday night, sent out a tweet on Hanover Sports, just reminding everybody that the next time I'm scheduled to be at Siegel Center was 14 weeks from last night when the class of 2016 graduates all four Hanover County schools. That's Saturday, the 17th of June. And the cool thing this year is that the state championships won't interfere with Hanover County schools on Saturday. They've interfered with some schools the last couple of years. State championships are scheduled for the week before. Now, there may be some semi-final issues with Chesterfield County, and we'll keep an eye on all that as time goes on. But graduation's in sight, class of 2K16. Congratulations. Wow. Well, of course, we got to start off with basketball on this edition of Central Region Now. And to do that, we've got to salute all the teams, all eight teams from the Metro Richmond area that made it to Siegel for the state semis and the championship. And I think RBA represented itself extremely, extremely well with three championships, seven wins, and eight semifinals, and really arguably, oh, so close to a fourth championship. We'll begin with the three teams that captured the title, and we sat and watched all three of them do it live at courtside on Wednesday, and we had you covered for coverage on Chesterfield Sports on Twitter. Congratulations to the Monacan boys, the Monacan girls, and the Cosby girls. And it's so interesting. Each one has their own separate, different story, their own vertical, their own way of getting there and how it happened. You know, for Monacan, they were fighting Dinwiddie for just supremacy in Conference 20 all season long, and it was a conference that didn't get a lot of chatter, didn't get a lot of talk. Monacan only made our top 10, I think, a couple of times during the regular season, but they put everything together at the best possible time, came flying through the tournament, getting into the state level as the four seed, which means they lost a couple down the stretch in the region. They had to go traveling. They beat a number one seed in Loudoun Valley in the state quarters to get to the state semis. Then Wallace Washington with the big shot at the buzzer, which we got on video at Chesterfield Sports. And you can see it again there. Just check our feed. And that gave them the win over GW Danville and put them into Wednesday's championship game. And lo and behold, they hold Lake Taylor to 6 points in the fourth quarter, avenge the region loss, and grab the state championship. Maybe the most unlikely of state titles of all 12 that were handed out at the Siegel Center Wednesday and Saturday. Phenomenal job. RJ Spelsberg, the head coach, And the kids who just simply believed in themselves, and they cocooned and they didn't worry about any naysayers. They didn't worry about the fact that they had lost to Lake Taylor and they had them back again in the championship. They didn't worry about the fact that they needed a buzzer beater to get through the semifinals and into the championship game. They didn't worry about the fact that they were losing after three quarters in the championship game. They just clamped down, hit some clutch shots, both field goals and at the line, and they get the job done. And that creates a situation to where you've got two championships at Monacan because, hey, the Monacan Maniacs had already sat through the girls' championship number two, where the Chiefs just completely dismantled William Fleming in the first state title matchup back on Wednesday to win their second straight 4A state girls' championship. Kudos to Brittany Gordon, who got in late, and man, everybody in the building rooting for Monacan wanted Brittany, the lone senior on the team, to score. And it took a few tries, but she did. She nailed a three very late, and I think the biggest cheer of the night was not Monacan winning the state title. It was when Brittany hit her three, which I think is pretty cool. But just to think that you know, Megan Walker and Jaden Morris and Jasmine Norman and Alex Parson and Haley Iser and Abby Ogich and the rest of the gang, they're all coming back. They are all coming back. There's no doubt, we had said on Twitter on Wednesday, there's no doubt who our preseason number one girls team is going to be here in the area. I don't see, you know, how it can't be. The other major teams from the year are going to lose pieces. Highland Springs is going to lose Taya Bolden. We'll talk about her in a moment. Cosby is obviously losing two huge pieces, and Tyra Whitehead and Jocelyn Jones, we'll get to them shortly too. So with everybody coming back and Megan Walker getting named Gatorade State Player of the Year for girls basketball as a junior, and of course we know she's been ranked number one in her class recruiting-wise by ESPNW, and they are, you know, we're now looking ahead to see what Megan thinks about her recruiting process, and frankly, that's up to Megan. She's narrowed it down, announced on Twitter sometime back about the seven schools that she's really looking at. She was asked about it at the post-game press conference. She's thinking maybe in the fall, but, you know, it's totally up to her. And one thing I hope the media, my brethren, will do is give her some breathing space and allow her to enjoy her summer and enjoy the beginning of her senior year of school, irregardless of basketball, you know, until she gets into that first practice in October. Please, everybody remember, she's a 16, 17-year-old kid, and remember how you were at that age. And, you know, the same for all of them that will be making major decisions. Obviously, Megan's going to get the most attention. But can I just say, Jaden Morris, is it okay if I say that? Is that good? Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Holy cow, what a state championship run at the Siegel Center for Jaden. Put on a show in both the semis and the championship game. And I know George Mason's head basketball coach, having covered A-10 women's basketball the last 3 years, and I know Coach Millison, and she is beyond thrilled, and that's putting it mildly, about Jaden Morris, who has committed to George Mason. Again, of course, nobody's put pen to paper yet, class of 2017. That is still to come. But she has blossomed so, so much. You know, last year's championship run, you had Megan Walker, and then you had Morris and Norman and Parson and the rest of them that were, you know, good contributors. And one night somebody would score 15, and another night, you know, two of them would score 13. And, you know, it wasn't always all Megan. And here at the States this year, Jaden Morris kind of took over offensively, and Megan didn't have to drop 25 and 30 points as expected. And so, you know, how do you defend a Monacan team next year where, okay, you put it all on Megan, Jaden will kill you. If you try to stop the two of them, you've got Alex and you've got Jasmine, and, you know, just the beat goes on and on. So that's going to be a special team to watch next year. Congratulations to Monacan. I still say they should have had a ticker tape parade through Smoketree Subdivision. Alas, it did not happen, but boy, it's not often that a boys and a girls basketball team get to bring home the state championship, but that's what happened for Chief Nation and the Monacan Maniacs on Wednesday. And then Wednesday night, I got to tell you, it was very emotional. I almost broke into tears on our broadcast. And for those of you who joined us for both our Cosby girls broadcast and LC Byrd boys championship broadcast on Wednesday, thank you so much for being with us live on the RVA Sports Network. When the game ended and Tyra Whitehead and head coach Rachel Mead embraced on the sideline, It was right across from our broadcast position. And you, the electricity and the emotion of that embrace, you could feel it across to where we were sitting. You could feel it all around the Siegel Center. You knew that an era was coming to an end, an era that saw three straight state championships for the Cosby Titans. But you could also just feel just how close and how special the relationship it is between Tyra and Coach and Jocelyn and Coach, Tyra and Jocelyn and her teammates. And I went back and I looked and I grabbed a picture and I put it up on Twitter on Thursday as a throwback Thursday thing on Chesterfield Sports of the 2014 championship. Dorothy Adamako leading the way then and had a picture of them holding the trophy. And you know, you looked and you saw Jocelyn and Tyra there as very, very good sophomores. And 2 years later, you see them leaving as seniors who have won three straight state titles. And it wasn't easy. And a lot of people on Press Row going into that game last Wednesday night kind of looked at Langley when they first came on the court about an hour before tip-off, and they didn't see much height, and they thought, oh, how are they going to hang with Cosby? But Langley beat Oakton, which was the team that Cosby kind of figured they were going to play in the state final, and Coach Meade said so after the semifinal win that they had, saying, you know, we got to kind of regroup, and we kind of were expecting Oakton, and now we got to get ready for Langley. And I have to tell you, two teams that impressed me greatly that came up short. One of them were the Langley Saxons, and the other was Hopewell on Saturday night, and we'll get to them in a moment. Langley, just fiercely competitive. It will dog you, will defend you, will try to wreak havoc on you. And yes, you know, they admitted after the game in the press conference that, you know, guarding a 6'3 Tyra Whitehead was something they had not faced in their district or region this year. They had seen athletic teams, but they hadn't seen an athletic team that had a 6'3 center in the case of Cosby and Tyra. But they had multiple chances to hit a three to tie in the final minutes, and it ended up with Jocelyn Jones committing the steal one and then the steal two. And we said on Twitter, on Chesterfield Sports, late Wednesday night before we signed off from Siegel, that, you know, in the lore of Cosby High School girls basketball, there is hashtag the shot. And that was Tyra's baseline jumper that won the state title last year over Bethel. And now there is hashtag the steal and hashtag the steal two. The first steal from Jocelyn got her to the line and was able to extend the lead a bit. And then the steal two happened in the final few seconds, and that sealed the championship for the Titans. Jocelyn on her way to North Carolina. Wake Forest can't wait to get Tyra Whitehead. Head coach Jen Hoover of the Demon Deacons was in the house for both the semis and the championship to watch her future center get one more championship trophy. So congratulations to Cosby. That was an emotional night. And big kudos to Rachel Meade, the head coach at Cosby. She finds ways to win. She keeps it going. She channels negatives into positives. You know, it's hard to believe that a team that is a two-time defending state champions had a me-against-the-world attitude, but they did. And I understand why they channeled it that way in terms of, you know, Monacan swept them in the regular season and neither game was close. But people had to continually remember, and we've talked about it here on this podcast going back to late November of last year. We felt that legitimately there were three state championship contenders, and they were all in different classifications. So we knew, even though Monacan beat Cosby, okay, so what, big deal? Big win for Monacan. But Cosby will be taking care of business in 6A, while Monacan's over Sowen Hay in 4A. Highland Springs, L.C. Byrd fighting it out in 5A. And so we knew that we had legitimately three possible champions. And we ended up with two of them, Monacan and Cosby. And to them we say congratulations. And on the boys' side, Monacan, what can I say? Incredible work. For those who just fell short at the state level, got to salute Troy Manns and the L.C. Byrd Skyhawks. And what a performance down the stretch from Charles Faldon. Whoever ends up with Charles next fall at their college or university, they're going to be glad they got him. He went absolutely berserk in the final 2 minutes of the game as he was trying single-handedly to bring the Skyhawks back against Potomac. They had it down to one possession, and then Potomac finally in the final seconds kind of woke up from their stupor. I mean, they got scared. They got cold. You could see the deer in the headlights in the faces of the Panthers. They were panicking, thinking, we're going to let this slip away. But they were able to hit a few free throws late to finally quell Faldon and the Skyhawks to get the win by six. Potomac wins its second state title in 3 years. Both times beating a Richmond team, they beat Henrico by 12 in the 2014 state 5A championship. But L.C. Byrd, fantastic work. You know, Kenny Williams off to UNC. Jalen Elliott does not play this year. They lose Taki Williams' brother Tyreek in the second game of the season with a broken leg, and he's the tall guy. He's their defender down low, and Taki has to go kind of play that role. And Coach Manns in the press conference talked about how that's not his favorite thing to do, and he just kind of had to take and embrace that role, and he did. And when he did, it really, really helped the team overall. And a lot of players, a lot of people had to embrace a lot of different roles this year for that team. But you see what happens when a team does that and comes together as a team. They finally beat Henrico. They finally get to the States. They finally make it to a state championship, and they near about took the trophy. Kudos to the L.C. Byrd Skyhawks. Congratulations to them. We'll see Charles and Coach Manns and more at the 804 All-Star Game this Saturday night, and we've got an announcement about that before the podcast is over, so stay with us for that. For the Highland Springs girls, it was frustrating, you know, putting the fan hat on for a moment, rooting for an 804 team. Highland Springs, basically, whenever they go up against Princess Anne, they find a mirror image team with more depth. And they find a team that has the same successful formula for the most part as Highland Springs does. But with the added depth and the added athleticism, when you only play really seven deep and then, you know, 8-9, you're hoping to get a few minutes out of them and stay out of foul trouble. It's hard. And so Highland Springs, they lost to them in 2014 in Bree Justice's senior year. They lost to them in the regional final this year. They lost to them again here in the state championships. Coach Franklin Harris had a very good quote after the game, basically saying, at some point we've got to draw a line in the sand and say we're not going to take this from Princess Anne anymore. You know, and Princess Anne has been to 8 straight state championships, and I think they've won 5 of them. So, you know, everybody in 5A knows, even though they're losing several big stars, including Godiva Hubbard to Minnesota, they're still going to be a factor. And if you want to raise the trophy, you've got to either A, beat Princess Anne one-on-one at some point, or B, beat a team that beats them if they get upset earlier in the postseason. Taya Bolden, the biggest contributor that Highland Springs loses. They get Jennifer Coleman back. AZ Baycott had a strong end of the postseason. She needs to kind of step up now into Bolden's role to help Cam Gatling down low, and I believe she will. Paris McBride will just be a sophomore next year. CC comes back. So Highland Springs is going to be right back in the mix next year. I wish for their sake they could get a little bit of depth so that they could play 9 or 10 deep, even if 8, 9, and 10 only played 6 to 10 minutes in a game when it's close. I think it would help them tremendously. Because there were some times at both the semis, at overtime win, and then in the championship game where I looked and Gatling was worn out and Bolden was worn out and slow to get back down the court. They were just tired. But wow, what a season. Highland Springs should not hang their hats, you know, hang their heads low. I just don't. Yeah, phenomenal campaign, and the best of luck to Taya Bolden. I've gotten a chance to know her just a little bit, and she is one sweet lady, one heck of a basketball player. And Campbell University has got a stud coming to them, that's for sure, to join Summer Price of Patrick Henry as they're trying to grow that program in the Big South down in Buies Creek, North Carolina. So Taya, we'll see you on the court in college. At some point, I'm sure, maybe over at Willett Hall when you come to Longwood University in the years to come. We talked about L.C. Byrd, talked about Highland Springs. Got to give a tip of the hat to Appomattox Regional Governor School. Wow, what a run through the postseason, and what heart and what fight in the state championship Saturday morning before falling. State runner-up status, nothing to be ashamed of. Congratulations to ARGS for a phenomenal run through the postseason. And let me tell you, you don't see a lot of chatter on Twitter about Appomattox Regional Governor School, but boy, did you see it this week. I mean, all over social media, students were taken to just say how proud they were of not just the team, but how proud they were of the individual players, how proud they were of the institution. and that was great to see. That was one of the most fun things to watch organically occur on Twitter this week. Well-deserved praise to a great bunch of ladies. And then Saturday night, wow, what can you say about the championship game in 3A boys? Hopewell led most of the way against a team that had beaten them by 27 in the regionals. Very few people gave them a chance to hang with IC Norcom, but Hopewell found a way. Norcom struggled at the free throw line. It opened up the door. Hopewell hit some clutch shots. They weren't, you know, hot by any stretch of the imagination from the field, but they were only down two at the half, and then they were able to take the lead and keep the lead for most of the second half. Norcom star Travis Fields got in foul trouble quickly. He got called for a third foul, complained about it, got teed up, and he ended up there with four fouls, had to go sit for the better part of a quarter. And Norcom fans were like, well, when are you putting Fields back in? And it ended up being a deft move by their head coach to let him sit for a good part of the fourth quarter, because then when he came back in, he was able to help spark the comeback that forced overtime. And then, of course, it's kind of legendary now what he did in the final seconds. Hopewell had the lead under 10 seconds to go. Norcom gets fouled. They hit two free throws. Hopewell with the ball and a chance to win the championship. They barely get to midcourt. Field steals the ball, heads up, takes a jumper, hits it with a second to play. Clock runs out. Norcom wins the championship. Devastating heartbreak for Hopewell. 67-65, the final, I believe it was, if my memory serves me correctly. Congratulations to Norcom, and Travis Fields just put on a show. Several different individual efforts this week. His was certainly one that kind of put the cherry on top on a Saturday night at the final championship game. You think about Charles Faldon. You think about Taya Bolden's 25 points and 27 rebounds in the semifinal win for Highland Springs over Edison. You think about Jaden Morris dropping 37 in the championship game for Monacan. You think about Wallace Washington's layup near the buzzer to send Monacan to the state championship game over GW Danville, and Charles Faldon, of course, for Bird late in the state final. And there were others as well, but we saw some great individual performances, some great team performances, and I'm going to say Kurt Young and company in Hopewell, hold your heads high. You did a phenomenal job in a game where many didn't give you a chance, and you just about pulled it off. And I know the runner-up trophy doesn't feel, you know, doesn't satisfy, it doesn't quench. But Hopewell will be back for more. And they've proven now to themselves that they can beat Norcom. It's just a question of finishing the job the next time. And not allowing, you know, a special player to do a special thing at the best possible time for them. Hopewell has nothing to be ashamed of. They put on a phenomenal performance, and of all the games that we watched all week long at Siegel Center, I think the most entertaining game and the game that emotionally taxed us the most was that Hopewell game to wrap it up on Saturday night. Want to thank all of you who listened to our two live broadcasts. We apologize again for the technical problems we had that prevented us from giving you the Highland Springs Princess Anne game. We were able to rectify them in time for Bird Potomac and then later on for Cosby Langley. And congratulations again to all the teams in the area. John Marshall for making it to the state semifinals and 3A boys again. 7-1 in the state semis and 3-4 in the state championship games, and three state titles coming to the RVA. I'm very happy about it, and everyone in basketball should be proud about it. No doubt about it. Now, there's more basketball to come. That's the 804 All-Star Game at Richard Bland College this coming Saturday night. Ticket information will be coming this week, and we'll have it across our Twitter network. So wherever you follow us on Twitter, if you're in Chesterfield, at Seafield Sports. If you're in Henrico, at Henrico Sports. If you're in Hanover, at Hanover Sports. And, of course, our main network Twitter feed, which covers the city of Richmond, the Tri-Cities, surrounding counties for high school, and then covers everything else in the world of sports in the RVA, VCU, the University of Richmond. You name it, we cover it on the RVA Sportsnet. That's at the RVA Sportsnet. Make sure you stay in touch with us on Twitter. And we'll be sending you ticket information about the 19th, this Saturday night at Richard Bland College. And we are now happy to announce for the first time publicly, we made the deal today, RVA Sports Network will provide live online radio coverage of the 804 All-Star Game this Saturday night from Richard Bland College, 8:30 scheduled tip time. We'll have it for you on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/RVA Sports Network. we are very excited about bringing you the kind of the cherry on top of the 2015-16 basketball season live. So if you can't make it to Richard Bland College on Saturday night, I hope you can, because there's a dunk contest and a whole bunch more. And then the main event again tips about 8:30. But we'll have that game for you live. If you can't make it out to us, we'll bring it to you at Richard Bland College, the 804 All-Star Game, live on RVA Sports Network, Saturday night at 8:30. All right, before we get to baseball and turn our attention to spring sports, talk a bit about Game of the Week schedules coming up and a few other things before we wrap up this edition of Central Region. Now, I have mentioned a couple of times on Twitter at the RVA Sportsnet that there is something that has gone on, and it's gone on forever, but I've seen it happen on a few occasions here this week, and it's time to get on the soapbox. And once in a while, we'll, you know, get into an opinion part of the program, and then at the end, I'll say, okay, I'm getting off my soapbox. This particular time, I'm going to start by saying I am now getting on my soapbox. So the following few moments are going to be our commentary on a subject that has really, really grated at our nerves over the past 2 weeks. And it belongs to our brethren in the media, specifically publications who think it is okay to publish pictures, whether they be online, on a website, or in a newspaper, of high school students anguishing in defeat. I've seen it happen 3 times over the course of the home stretch of this high school basketball season, where someone will put a headline up and link to a story, and the picture that accompanies it is, I've seen a student athlete on a court immediately following a game with his head inside of his jersey, obviously crestfallen that his team has lost the state championship game. And then last night at the Siegel Center, Saturday night, I got there, and it was the 3A girls final going on, and it was a defensive, scrappy battle between Magna Vista and Spotswood. And the game got tied. Spotswood was down, Magna Vista was down 3, and they hit a shot to tie it up. And then for whatever reason, one of the players for Magna Vista committed a foul on a Spotswood player in backcourt. I mean, literally in front of her bench, 75 feet from the basket, just before the horn sounded. And so we all kind of looked in astonishment when the foul was called, because it was like, oh my gosh, they can win the state championship by hitting a free throw or two. And then, you know, people began talking, should it have been called a foul? Should they swallow the whistle, et cetera, et cetera? And that's another conversation for another day. I didn't see the play clearly enough to really tell you whether or not it was okay, justified, or maybe they should have swallowed it and played overtime. Well, long story short, Spotswood hits one. They put 0.4 seconds back on the clock. They hit one. They miss the second free throw. Magna Vista gets the ball, but there's no time to put up a 90-foot prayer, and that was it. Championship's done. Spotswood wins. And, of course, no one felt worse than the player who committed the foul for Magna Vista. And you'll notice we're not naming names. And we're not going to name names because that's irrelevant. And would also be wrong to single somebody out, because immediately people will think, well, that person cost him the state championship game. Well, again, a game is a 32-minute tapestry in high school basketball. And there were 65 things that happened in the prior 31 minutes and 59 seconds that could have cost them the state championship. Don't go for the blatantly obvious, quote-unquote, according to some people. A couple of hours later, I think it was right after the Hopewell game, publication, newspaper, here in Virginia, don't remember who, don't care to name them, I'm not here to single people out, but I will say that a publication in Virginia put up their article, and the accompanying picture on Twitter was, sure enough, 3 members of Magna Vista with their heads in their jerseys, standing immediately after the game was over, waiting for the trophy ceremony, in complete anguish because they had just lost a state championship. Now, I sat there and watched a good part of that game after arriving at Siegel for Hopewell, and I saw those same basketball players hustle and rebound and steal and defend and shoot and score. Why couldn't we have had a picture of that? Why do we put pictures of children? Okay, remember, high school players are still children, most of them under the age of 18. Why are we putting pictures of their most despairing moments as the big picture for the big headline for your social media, for your website, for your next day's newspaper? stop it. Now, if it's LeBron James missing a shot that cost Cleveland game one of the NBA Finals, and you've got a picture of LeBron James crestfallen, guess what? He's pushing 30. He's making millions of dollars a year to do that. And if you have a picture of him, I believe that's fair game because he's an adult and he's a paid professional. But we should not treat high school players like we do LeBron James, Steph Curry, Bryce Harper, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, you name the pro athlete, I don't care. They have done so much to get to that level, and to say this is how their night ended, and then those poor kids, they get on social media and they see a picture of themselves in tears. They've been working since October, and the lasting memory that you have provided for them, their family, and their fans is them in tears? Are you kidding me? When you, I know, took hundreds of shots of them defending and shooting and scoring. That's why they got there. That's why they got so close to winning the state championship. So to all my brethren, and I know I hold very little sway and don't care what kind of sway I have, because I'm not here to have sway. I'm here to cover the kids. For heaven's sakes, stop taking pictures like that and publishing them of kids. Can we all just step back for a moment and remember that these are high school kids? And on top of this, another thing, some fans last night after the big comeback and Norcom wins, I counted two water bottles and somehow, I don't know how, a ketchup bottle get thrown onto the court, which was a horrific way for the night to end. Now, I don't know if it was Hopewell fans who were upset. I don't know if it was a Norcom fan who was trying to be funny and make it look like the Hopewell fans were being bad sports. I don't know if it was just somebody there just trying to cause trouble. Don't know. We'll never know. But you don't throw stuff to the court at a high school basketball game. And then on top of that, you've got a fan base who will not be named, who booed through the entire trophy ceremony this week when their team lost a heartbreaker in the state championship game. I sat there and listened to them boo everything that was given to the champions who had defeated them. Total lack of class. That's to the fans who came to the game. You know, the discourse in our country right now is close to its worst in my lifetime. And I was born in 1967. So I was born in the heart of the age of the 60s. I was less than a year old when Martin Luther King was assassinated. I was almost a year old when Robert Kennedy was assassinated. So I don't remember firsthand the riots in Chicago at the 1968 Democratic Convention. I don't remember the violence at Kent State in 1970, but I sure have read about it, and I sure have learned about it, and I sure have studied it because I'm a studier of history. But I will say this, the discourse in this country is pretty bad right now, and we don't need that type of discourse, that types of reactions spilling over into, for the love of God, high school sports. If your team wins, celebrate with class. If your team loses, salute your team with dignity and show them as adults how to take defeat, even when it's difficult, even when you think it's unfair. Show them how to do it with class, fans. Don't be classless, because then all you're doing is showing the 16 and 17-year-olds that it's okay to throw bottles. It's okay to boo the opponent and try to ruin their special moment that they've worked just as hard to get to as your team did. Don't do it. And so my soapbox is twofold this week, and I'm sorry, I normally don't spend this much time on the podcast giving you my opinion, but today I have no choice because I feel so fervently about these two issues. And they are, number one, to my brethren in the media, quit taking photographs of children in despair. Show them at their craft. Celebrate the work that they did to get to the point where they're at. So I am totally against the use of that type of photography. Last night, we sent a picture on Twitter of the Hopewell boys accepting their second place medals. That's an accomplishment they should be proud of. Many people didn't think they'd finish second place. There's nothing wrong with that. But you're not going to find a picture of the kids hanging their heads in their jerseys and in tears and with a towel on their face right after they lost a heartbreaker. It's just something we don't do because we don't think we should put children in that situation. And number two, fans, have some class. Okay? All right, I'm off my soapbox. And hopefully, we won't see that in the foreseeable future. Let's talk baseball. And spring sports. Spring sports scheduled to begin Monday. Mother Nature may put a stop to that. We're hearing possibility of, well, first of all, it's going to rain on Sunday night. So that may leave some fields in some bad shape come Monday. And then we're hearing the possibility of strong to severe storms on Monday evening. We don't want them because we have a game of the week scheduled for Monday night, and that's our first baseball game of the week of the season, and that is Midlothian and Atlee. And we're hoping to hit the air at 6 o'clock Monday night live on YouTube.com/RVA Sports Network. If you want to make sure you join us for all of our game of the week broadcast and special broadcast as well, including playoffs, just go to YouTube.com/RVA Sports Network and click subscribe. It's absolutely free, doesn't cost you a thing. And we won't spam you or anything like that, but what we will do is this. Every time we post a new video or every time we go live with an RVA Sports Network broadcast, you'll get an alert either on your phone or through your email just to remind you, hey, RVA Sports Network's on the air, game of the week, right now, tune in. And it begins on Monday night, Lord willing and if the weather permits. Midlothian at Atlee baseball, two teams trying to get to the next level after, you know, disappointing 2015 seasons. Looking forward to that. And then our schedule so far, the three games we have set, and we've got, oh boy, these next two are just phenomenal. March 22nd, a week from Tuesday night, Glenn Allen comes to Douglas Freeman. This is a new Colonial District rivalry. It's a new Conference 11 rivalry. Glenn Allen, the defending 4A state champions, they've moved up to 5A, and now they're taking on Douglas Freeman twice a regular season. And you think about it, come Conference 11 tournament time, from Glenn Allen, Douglas Freeman, Deep Run, Mills Godwin, Lee Davis, just from those five alone, not to count any other sleepers in the conference, only two of them can make it to the regional. That's going to be crazy. So we are really looking forward to that matchup. It will be at Douglas Freeman a week from Tuesday night, 6 o'clock airtime on the RVA Sports Network at YouTube.com/RVA Sports Network. Glenn Allen, defending 4A state champion, at Douglas Freeman, who made it to the state finals in 14 and the state semis in 15. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. And then the following week is spring break. We still may have a broadcast that week, so stay tuned. And, of course, broadcast schedule always available at RVASportsNetwork.com. We come back from spring break, and on Tuesday night, April 5th, we're at James River. For the third year in a row, we get to broadcast the rivalry that is Cosby-James River baseball. Can't wait for that. Last 2 years, we've had phenomenal action. We look forward to having it again this year, too. That's April 5th at 6 p.m. And we'll have more games, and not just baseball. We've got softball coming up. We're going to get lacrosse in. Hope to get some soccer in as well, live on the RVA Sports Network all the way through the regular season. We are the only outlet in Central Virginia that brings you live high school sports all year long. We don't just do football. Yes, we do lots of football, but we do field hockey and volleyball during the regular season in the fall. We do tons of basketball in the winter, and in the spring, we've got several sports for you as well. So if you want to hear live high school sports, there's one place, right here, and we're proud of it, here at the RVA Sports Network. And the broadcast schedule can constantly updated. In fact, I got to go on after we do this podcast and put the 804 All-Star Game on that broadcast schedule for Saturday night at RVASportsNetwork.com. That's RVASportsNetwork.com. Our top 10 polls for baseball and softball will debut on Sunday, April 3rd. We'll have two full weeks of the regular season in, plus some teams are playing over spring break. So our debut top 10 polls for baseball and softball will be Sunday, April 3rd, the day before you return to school from spring break. All right, as we're recording this podcast, most of you are probably tuned to CBS, looking at the brackets and the NCAA tournament getting ready to start this coming week. We usually try to do a little pool thing. There's no entry fee and there is no money involved. You do not win anything but bragging rights, but we're going to do it once again this year. We'll figure out which service we're going to use online, and then we'll open it up. And if you want to join us, we'll put out links on Twitter if you want to be a part of that, just for bragging rights and a lot of fun and a chance to poke fun at each other and have some good times on Twitter about the NCAA tournament. And then we're keeping our eyes on the NCAA women's announcement on Monday night. We've got outside hopes, really crossing our fingers, toes, eyes, ears, and everything else, that VCU would get an at-large bid. But if they don't, we're sure they're going to the WNIT. Cannot wait to see what Beth O'Boyle's second class does, finishing up her second season at VCU. We talked about her last week and just how impressed we were with her coming out of the Atlantic 10 Women's Tournament. But looking forward to them in the postseason, see how many of the A10 teams get to the postseason, first in the NCAA tournament. We know George Washington and Duquesne are going to get there. St. Louis is squarely on the bubble. St. Bonaventure holds some hope But certainly there's going to be at least five teams from the A-10 in the postseason. We're hoping at least three in the big dance, and the women's tournament field is announced on Monday night. Looking ahead, the Kickers are in preseason form. They've already taken on UVA in an exhibition, and their regular season just around a corner. And a month from Monday is opening night for the Flying Squirrels. And in case you didn't hear, Jerome Bettis from the Pittsburgh Steelers, Hall of Famer, started his career with the Los Angeles Rams after coming out of Notre Dame. And, of course, he won Super Bowl 40 with the Steelers in his hometown of Detroit in his final game as a Steeler before retiring. The bus is coming to Richmond, and he's going to throw out the first pitch and be a part of opening night April 14th, a month from Monday, down at the Diamond. We'll have you covered on the Squirrels and the Kickers and everything going on our Twitter feed, our main network Twitter feed, the RVA Sportsnet. That's at the RVA Sportsnet. All right, my friends, thanks so much for being with us for this edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network. Thank you for indulging me on a longer than usual soapbox. There were just a couple of things that happened this week they've actually happened over the last couple of weeks that just came to a head with me, and I thought somebody has got to say something about it. You know, if there's heat out there, we'll take it. That's fine. We mean no disrespect to the people that we're talking to. Never have, never will. We love our brethren in the media and respect them greatly, but we just disagree with some of the decisions that they've made, and we certainly disagree with some fans' behavior, and we know that behavior is 0.1% of the fans out there. Kudos and thank you to the 99.9% who know how to cheer for high school sports. We appreciate you very much. Central Region Now, an exclusive podcast presentation of the RVA Sports Network, solely intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any other use without the express written consent of HCS Media LLC is strictly prohibited. Have a great week. Happy spring sports season. We'll see you at the 804 All-Star Game Saturday night, and we'll see you on the sidelines.